Hey everybody, what is going on? And welcome back once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 2, episode number 53. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us for another year. I am your host, Jeff Spencer, and I'm coming at you from my brand new podcast studio located on the outskirts of Danbury, Connecticut. Thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it. Whether you have for an entire season or you are today for the first time, it means a lot to all of us here at the podcast. However, if you're just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 52 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you subscribe to the show. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today, please be sure to subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss a future episode. You can find the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at Sweeten Up Podcast. Also, if you have a suggestion for the podcast, want to write into the show, or would like to be a guest on the podcast down the road, please reach out to us at sweetenuppodcast@gmail.com. I know last week I said our next guest was going to be Chef Emily Mangrone of Tavern on State. However, we needed to reschedule that episode for another day, so definitely be on the lookout for that this summer. With that being said, my guest on the podcast today is the great and powerful Kaylin Sovereign. Kaylin Sovereign is the executive chef of Note Kitchen and Bar in Bethel, Connecticut, and executive chef and partner of the somewhat new Notch 8, also located in Bethel, Connecticut. Kaylin was invited to compete on season 46 of Food Network's Chopped, where she went on to smoke the competition and become a Chopped champion. Her passion for perfection and focus on seasonal, locally sourced food allows her to continually surprise and delight guests with her creative and delicious offerings. We had a fantastic conversation live on Greenwood Avenue in Bethel, Connecticut, on the front patio of Note Kitchen and Bar, talking about Kaylin's start in the culinary world, where her passion comes from, being invited onto and winning Food Network's Chopped, what she loves about Note Kitchen and Bar and the new Notch 8, her favorite dishes to cook, how she got through the COVID-19 pandemic, a sneak peek of a collab Kaylin will be doing with a local brewery, and so much more. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here she is, my friend and an incredible chef, Miss Kaylin Sovereign. Joining me on the podcast today, live here at Note Kitchen in Bethel, Connecticut, literally sitting on the patio with the executive chef of Note, someone who we love so much here in this community because she makes the best food. She's the wonderful Kaylin Sovereign. Kaylin, thank you so much for joining me. And how are you doing this evening?
I'm good, Jeff. Thank you for finally having me on.
Of course. I know we've gone back and forth for a little bit, but we got it done tonight. So
yeah, in this beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's very hot, but it's also it's still a nice, clear night here in Bethel and right on Greenwood here. And man, I love Bethel.
Me too. I actually lived in Bethel. I moved here.
Yeah,
I love it.
Are you close? You're down the street or something?
Literally walk here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That's
awesome. I
don't
want to get my location.
Yeah, no. I don't blame you. But no, I love Bethel. I would love to live here someday for sure. There's just so much going on. It's really starting to bustle here and be a mm-hmm. place that people really want to come. And well, listen, so thank you so much for joining me. Like I said, I appreciate your time because, you know, I know chefs are super busy. I've had a bunch on and free time is rare. So I really, really appreciate it, especially live. And,
yeah, no problem.
You know, one place I really like to start, like I do with all my guests, is, you know, considering the last year and everything that we've gone through with COVID-19, you know, especially in your industry, being a chef, you know, how did you get by, you know, with the two restaurants that you're attending, and how was it like in your personal life, and how are your friends and your family, and yeah, just how did you manage all that?
It definitely was a whirlwind for us. We had just opened up Notch 5 weeks prior, so first week of February, you know, we were jamming. The place was crazy. It was busy. We were doing great, and then out of nowhere, it was just like, you know, we're just sitting at the bar watching the news. It's like you have to stop everything.
Yeah.
So we actually closed down Note. We brought all the food over to Notch. Notch has a bigger kitchen, bigger walk-in, bigger everything. So we were cooking actually most of Note's menu out of Notch, plus all of Notch's food. So it was very hectic. But honestly, having, you know, like the pizza and all that stuff coming out of Notch really just saved us. takeout nights, there'd be nights where we were so crazy, we'd actually have to shut off, you know, DoorDash and Toast and, like, let us catch up and then turn it back on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there'd be nights we'd sell, like, hundreds of pizza. It was good. And then once the patio season opened back up, that's when we came back over. I opened up you know, had my same guys come back, and then it was, a month or two later, the Chopped episode happened. It was crazy. I'd come out, like, just to look out the windows, and there'd be lines of people waiting. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I can't believe we're this freaking busy.
Yeah.
But same thing at Notch. You know, they'd go there and be like, oh, where's the Chopped chef? And they're like, she doesn't work here right now. She's over at Note. And then people would actually leave there to come here hoping to see me, but really, you know,
right.
I'm cooking.
Right, exactly.
I can't leave the kitchen.
Yeah, no.
Say hi to you.
Exactly, no, and I can't wait to get into all the good stuff, you know, Note and Notch, 8, and, you know, winning Chopped and everything that you've been doing. It's super awesome. And but, you know, what I'm really curious about to start is, you know, where did this love of cooking and, you know, maybe restaurants or food or whatever it may be, where did this passion and love begin for you? Was it something that, you know, has it been a long time that you've done this, or is it something relatively new somewhat?
I've always loved cooking. I actually almost went to Caner Tech High School for culinary when I was 13. Ended up backing out. You know, your friends kind of are like, oh, no, I can't believe you're leaving public school type of thing. So I kind of got pressured into staying. And actually in school, I found art and photography.
Gotcha.
So that's something I started following into. And I was going to go to college for that. But when I was 16 years old, my mom was a bartender at a banquet hall.
Oh.
So I started working there. Like, I loved it. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, I just loved, like, the rush of it all, doing all that stuff.
Yeah, banquet halls are pretty intense,
yeah, and
right?
Even the chef that was there, she was kind of like, I love this woman that worked there. But she would call me, like, over the summer, she'd be like, hey, you want to come help me prep, like, during the week? I'm like, yeah. So I actually started helping them in their kitchen, doing stuff like that. Still went to art school. Well, not art school, community college for art. And then one of my friends, I just needed another job. She's like, there's this pizza place that's hiring up in Litchfield. They're looking for someone willing to train. I was like, okay. I was like, I might as well. So that's when I started making pizza. So I think I was about 20. Started making pizza. And then by the time I was 22, I was actually like, I was their main chef. I dropped out of college, was working full time for them. And then they shut down. So I started going back to college again, giving art a second chance, and I realized how much I hated sitting in class. I absolutely hated it. And I was working at the Carmen Anthony Group. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waterbury, right?
At Waterbury and Woodbury. They bumped me up to Avon for a little bit. I was kind of like, I think I worked at 4 of their 5 restaurants. I was there for a while.
Nice.
Yeah. And then that's when a friend of mine, her family owns a produce company up in Hartford, and she was like, hey, this chef just reached out to me. He's looking for a sous chef. Are you interested? And I was just like, I don't think I'm ready to be a sous chef.
Right.
So I went and met him. Come to find out, I knew him from when I worked at the Italian place. And I walked in. I was just like, hey, what's up? And he goes like, oh, my God, how the hell are you? And I was like, I'm great. How are you? And he's like, I'd be better if you became my sous chef. He's like, you ready to start with me? And I was just like, yep, that was my interview. Literally, he was just like, okay, when can you start? And I was like, I need to give 2 weeks. Let me make sure I like this. And that was at the corner.
Yeah, so, yeah, at the corner is awesome.
Yeah, so I worked at the corner for, four or five years. So I was his sous chef, and then the last year that I was there, he had left, and they made me the executive chef. And then I gave it a year, and then I was just kind of ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's when I met Tony at Note, and I liked his vibe. I liked his idea of what he wanted to do for his restaurant. He's like, I love music, I love food. I've never been in the industry, so it was kind of. You know,
yeah,
this,
that
this
was actually
kind of feels like my baby too.
Yeah, that was actually one of my questions for you. What is it like working for Tony Heslin?
It's great, honestly. He's such a like chill, relaxed guy, and even for like just the opportunity to be an investor of Notch, I was thrilled that you know he would just be like, "Ooh, he's like you've helped me so much, but no, why not? Like, why not keep growing this you know this family?
It's a match made in heaven. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we bump heads, but who doesn't? But at
normal.
The end of the day, like I love working for him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, talk to me.
I call him dad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best. I mean, you can't ask for better than that when, you know, you have your family, but you also have another family at work.
Well, it's actually weird because it really is a lot of family here.
We were
open for about 6 months and I dragged my sister in.
Nice. Oh, that's right. You were telling me that the other night.
Yeah.
Nice.
So she was looking for a new job and I was just like, listen, I'm like, we need a good bartender here. I'm like, why don't you come down? So she ended up, she started, I think, about like 6 months after we opened Note. She's still with us. She's actually one of the investors over at Notch, too.
Cool.
Yeah. And then Tony's daughters work here. We have a few other kids that are working here, brothers. So it's actually like my roommate is one of our bartenders, managers. So it's like we have all actually brought in our family and we've created this family within it. So it's really nice working.
That's really cool. And you know what? One thing I love about Note and Notch 8 is the staff. They're so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So friendly. Like you just want to keep coming back because it's good times. And you know, service is great. Everything is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so definitely talk to me about Notch 8 because, you know, there's Note here and Note's been around for a little bit, but Notch 8 is new. So definitely talk to me about all that because Notch 8 is really cool. I mean, right on the train tracks and just really cool space with the outdoor bar, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we just built the Tiki Bar recently.
Yeah.
We're still waiting on the permits so that we can actually sell liquor out of the bar. So gotcha. Right now you could sit there, you could eat there, you could drink there, but we have to make all the drinks.
Gotcha.
On the inside bar.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Tony and I, for a while, were actually looking into like a second thing, whether it was a food truck. We looked at a few different food trucks, but for him, it was always pizza. Pizza was always an idea for him. One of the food trucks we went and looked at had a little tiny pizza oven on the back of it. We ended up not taking it. We looked at a bunch of different places, and finally we were waiting for, there was that pretzel place that opened up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
very quickly.
Yeah, it was 40 days.
Yeah.
We were counting. We were waiting, honestly, because that was, you know.
It was quick, yeah.
They had to renovate it after the spa because it was obviously disgusting inside.
Ugh.
But we still ended up going in. Completely renovated, open up the whole entire front room. If you're in the front room, if you looked at the wall, it was actually all house siding. It was ugly. So we ripped it out and that's when we saw like all the nice brick. So we kept that. We went and got the pizza oven, did that whole thing.
Pizza oven is beautiful.
That thing is beautiful.
Isn't
I'm
it?
Actually kind of like jealous that I'm not working over there right now. Cause I was there all winter. We had brought in these pizza people and I mean, I don't want to shit on them, but
right.
We needed to put out a better product. And especially for me, I mean, you know, being a chef owner, I also kind of like, well, I've chopped on my resume now. You know, I want to be putting out a good product for people. And so I think once like November hit, December, we were slow enough here at Note. We closed for 2 days. I have two guys here that are great. I absolutely love these guys. I never want to get rid of them. And if they ever try to leave me, I'm not going to let them. but so they held down the fort for me. You know, I'd come here to still do the orders. The guy here, he's, you know, I consider him my sous chef, but no one really has titles at either restaurant. But you know, he'd come up with specials or like I'd help him with specials, get all that stuff done. And then that was it. I'd go back over to Notch. I redid the whole pizza area. I redid the dough. Started using better products over there just to put out like really good products. And you know, we've had one girl there since pretty much right before the pandemic started, so she's been there for a year.
Nice.
And I kind of took her under my wing, showed her everything, you know, wrote out recipes, and she's just been holding it down now that I'm back over at Note, because now that we're busy here with the patio season, I had to get back over here.
Right. And what's kind of the difference between Note and Notch 8, like menu wise like is there no, you know, it's probably a pretty big difference, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Not just more, we wanted more of a sports bar aspect.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you got your wings, we have hot dogs, baked potatoes, pizzas on the menu. Note is more, you know, your new American, a little bit elevated food. I like to play around all, like, flavors. I like to go a lot of cultural things. Like, so you're not going to come here and just be, like, all, like, you know, Italian or this. Like, there's always, like, a ramen on. Right now I have a Brazilian fish stew.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it just, you know, if something interests me, I'm like, ooh, okay, let me see how I can put this into my menu. Let me see what I could use on it. Because I'll take one item and try to use it in multiple places, mostly, you know, for food cost reasons. But
sure.
Note is so small, I don't have the room to hold all this food anyways.
Sure.
So it's very, like, limited product, but used in a wider range.
Gotcha. No, I love it. Both places are just so special and unique, and
mm-hmm.
and I love that you're just like willing to just give some a try because you know you like it and you think it would go well.
I'll honestly do that. Specials a lot. I'll be like, okay, like this seems cool. Let me see if you know how I can play around with it. Use it as a special, and then if it's something that really sells, I'll you know I kind of like write it down If I made a recipe out of it, keep it and throw it onto my next menu. Because I right. usually change every season. Right now, I'm kind of just doing a sprummer menu.
Gotcha.
That's like I like to call it.
A little spring-summer action. Yeah, a little sprummer.
Spring-summer.
Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. So, Note opened in 2016. And I know the following year, 2017, Bethel really showed their love. And you guys were Restaurant of the Year, which is awesome. And that must have felt really good. And then all that kind of, you know, seemed to culminate or accumulate to Chopped and how you ended up going on Chopped on the Food Network for season 46, right?
Yeah, season 46.
And so how did that come to be? And how was that? Because you won. I mean,
that was actually, it was so strange. You know, we'd all sit around, joke around about it. Actually, my friend who had the produce company in her family, we would all hang out some nights, and she would just throw on Food Network, watch Chopped. She's like, "What would you do with this?" And I'd be like, "Blah blah blah blah." She's like, "Oh, I would never thought of that."
So you were training. You were in training.
I was secretly training, and I never knew it.
That's awesome.
But I went upstairs into our office one day, and Tony was in there, and he's like, "You wouldn't believe who just called." I was like, "Who?" And he shows me this paper. It has a girl's name on it, and all it says is Chop. I'm like, "What does that even mean?" He goes, "Chop just called." I'm like, "No, they didn't." He's like, "Yes, they did." I'm like, "You're yanking my chain."
They
and
just
I didn't
called
believe
up?
Him.
That's so awesome.
I didn't believe him. And then, you know, like an hour or so later, I just checked my email and there's an email from the girl that called. I looked at my email. I was like, "This, you've got to be kidding me." I'm like, "There's no freaking way."
That must have been humbling.
Yeah. So I ended up, messaged her back. We ended up talking on the phone. She was just like, you know, she's like, "We go through everyone's Instagrams, like Facebooks, all this other stuff." And she's like, "We've been following you for a while in the restaurant." She's like, "We love what you do." And she's like, "You want to come to New York and do an interview?" And I was like, "Hell yeah." She's like, "You have to fill out the application like everyone else does." So I did. I went to New York. I kind of didn't feel confident in my interview. And I actually didn't even get on after that first interview. And a few months later, they messaged me and they're like, "We really liked you, but we want to see more of your personality. You want to come down again?" I was like, "Yeah, of course I do." So this time I went, I had like two drinks beforehand. So I was a little bit looser and actually like opened up more to
them.
And then honestly, I think a week later, they're like, "Can you come tomorrow?" I was just like, "No, I can't come tomorrow. It's a Friday and it's tomorrow." Yeah. I was just like, at one point I'm like, "Do they actually work with chefs?" Like, you know,
yeah.
It was just, it took a while to get the
time. I guess they're thinking, "Well, you're coming on the Food Network, so
yeah,
of course
you're going to
just drop everything." But it's like, what do you mean? Like, I'm a chef.
And I've always had a limited staff. My kitchen here is honest, like my apartment kitchen is bigger than my kitchen in the restaurant. So there's only ever been like three or four of us here.
Gotcha.
I don't have a big kitchen staff.
Gotcha.
And that was it too. I was like, I don't have anyone here right now to fill in for me. So finally, it was the day after Mother's Day. I did Mother's Day brunch here, finally left, took off, went to the city, stayed in the hotel. I had to get up at like 4 a.m. You meet them at 6 a.m. They walk you all over the city. So you have no clue where the heck you end up. And then you literally just go. Just go, 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 go. It was absolutely crazy. But I remember I was like sitting in my hotel room being like, am I really about to do this?
It seems daunting.
Yeah.
Just throw it, because you know nothing, right?
No, you absolutely, you know nothing.
Jeez.
I even asked them, because I know some episodes are themed. And I was like, is there a theme to this? And they go, no. I was like, okay.
And then they lied? Or
no, there was no theme. The name of the episode is Quail Without Fail. And
yeah.
It's just we cooked a quail.
Yeah. No, I saw it when it came out.
Yeah.
I saw it when it came out. It was fantastic. I was going nuts when you won. It was just like when Chef Storch won. I was just like fist pumping, like, you know, because it's Connecticut. And, you know, speaking of that when you won, the governor, Ned Lamont, he tweeted.
Oh, I know. He actually tried to come
here.
He
congratulated
you. The day
you.
He came here, he called. It was my day off.
That's
I
awesome.
Wasn't even around town either.
Call from Ned.
Yeah, one of the waiters that worked here messaged me. He's like, are you around? I'm like, no, why? He's like, Ned Lamont wants to come meet you. And I was like, God damn it. I'm like, when is he coming? And he's like, he wants to be here in a half an hour. And I'm like, I'm like 40-something minutes away.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool, because you know, I knew a decent amount about you, but I like to research my guests a little bit. And I saw that he tweeted at you, and I was like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's super cool.
It was actually
cool.
My sister-in-law that sent it to me. She's like, look at this.
Look
I'm
at
like,
this
holy
tweet.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, mm-hmm. So, you know, while you're going through the whole thing, what was going through your mind as you kept progressing through? I mean,
honestly, the first...
Could you believe it? Or were you like, how are they liking this?
Like, yeah, I'm like, how am I still on? Because actually the first round, you know, it's like, I just had so many ideas and I'd be doing something and like change it and then doing something else and then change it. And so what I put out was not what I wanted. I burnt one of the items a little bit and I was just like, I'm going home. Like, I wasn't happy at all with what I put out. And then when they sent the other kid home, I don't even know. I was just like, holy shit. I was like, I was ready to just be like, okay, bye, thank you. And here I was still going. The second round, I was more confident. And, you know, I thought I put up something really good. But they just, God, the judges. So.
Yeah, who are the judges again?
Oh, my God, it was Manit. I'm drawing a blank right now.
I'm trying to remember too.
Who's the bald guy?
Oh yeah, the
Chris. Chris Constantino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's Chris Constantino, Manit, and then. Oh my lord, what is his name? Jeff Sakirian.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the three of them. So Chris would be great. He's positive. Gives you like a you could have done this, but you know.
Yeah.
And then Manit. Honestly, I felt like I actually had like a weird connection with her when we were like talking about food, and then you'd get to Jeff and he'd just be like, well, yeah, but, and then it's just negative, 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 and you're just like, oh God, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what the three of us are actually saying, because when you're done with your round, you go in this room, you're not allowed to like leave the room. Like if you do leave even to go to the bathroom, everyone has to go with you. We can't bump into any of the judges. But so that's when we'd have like our talks.
And interesting.
They'd make us talk about things to put into like the episode.
Interesting.
But even after that one, we're all just like so defeated.
Right.
Like we're like, oh, we thought we put something good up. And then like he's just so negative. So actually going into that, we were all three of us at that point were completely unsure. And then the third round came. And actually that kid Marco that I was against, he's amazing. He's an amazing chef. We've actually chit-chatted about because he's from San Diego. So we've actually talked about me going to San Diego and doing like a pop-up together with each other. And then the pandemic happened. But I honestly, I thought he was going to kick my ass because everything that he was doing was absolutely amazing. And then like looking over at his dessert from where I was standing, it looked good. But then like listening to the judges, so we had to use chicken salt. And this stuff was so salty. He put so much of it in it. Like whatever he did, he put like a ton of it in every single part of his dessert and just like ruined it. And that's when I was like... like, I think I got this.
Wow.
I think I got this. And then, yeah.
Thank God for chicken salt.
Oh, I know.
No. You're talented, and that's why you won. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
thank you.
Chopped is, gosh, I watch it, and I'm just like, how do these human beings do this?
Like, I'm honestly, like, still very humble about it. It's like.
You are.
Like, yeah.
You are.
I don't know. It's what I do.
And that's fine,
day,
because
and,
it's because you, know, you cool. love it. Because yeah. you love it. And it's mm-hmm. like. You know, if I do something cool, awesome. If I don't, whatever. I'm just doing what I love, and yep. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Totally love that. Do they shoot? Is that one day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that
I
seems
by,
like a lot.
I think by the time we actually, you know, like they pat you down, they make sure like you don't have anything like weird on you to like cheat with,
et cetera. A little extra ingredient.
Yeah, like but literally like your phone, your wallet, anything that you would normally keep on you is gone. And then they, like, mic you up. You put on the chef jacket, which I was really upset that they don't let you keep.
No.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
way.
Yeah, the guy was like, I need that back. I'm like, no. I'm like, I just won. Why can't you take it off my... Take it off what you guys are going to pay me.
Well, I think they should, as a little token of doing it, give everyone the coat they wore, whether they won or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be cool. But, I mean, especially
I
if you won.
I think part of it is...
Interesting.
You can't tell anyone when you're done.
Oh, right.
So I literally had to keep this a secret. Actually, it took my episode a year and I think 3 months.
That's right, because
it took a long
time. You did it in 2019.
Yeah, they told me it would take about 9 months. And I'm literally like, oh my God, just waiting for this email. Every day, I'd honestly more so check my email to wait for that email.
Yeah.
And finally, we were moving my friend out from Maine.
And I love Maine.
Yeah, she was living in Portland, but
I love it there.
But we went to go pick her, we went to go move her out to come back here, and all of a sudden I was just like, oh my God, guys, I like froze up, I was like shaking a little bit, and they're like, what? And I'm like, my episode is in like 2 weeks. They're like, are you serious? And I was like, break it out! So, it was cool. Then we threw a party, we had a party at Notch.
Yes.
But it was just funny, because everyone's like, you just played it off like you lost.
Yeah.
The whole time, and I'm like, yeah, I had to.
Yeah.
But so when I won, everyone over there, they went nuts. nuts. It was like friends, family, like all the coworkers from both restaurants.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of our regulars and stuff like that. It was crazy.
And I was at my house fist pumping out of my recliner.
Should have been there.
I know.
We had a blast.
What was I thinking? I should have been there. It would have been great. But that's awesome, and we're super proud of you, and that's super cool. And, you know, and like I said, I had seen you when I would come to Note, but then when that happened, I was like, oh, nice. Like, now I know. Now I put a face to the name, and then when I started the podcast, I'm like, well, I got to talk to her. I mean, that'd be awesome, because, you know, you seem really chill, and you are, so this is great. What would you say your style of cooking is? Do you have a style, or are you just kind of whatever you feel is right?
I just, honestly, whatever I feel is right. I don't know, like, I'll see things, you know, whether it's, like, a magazine on TV, people's Instagrams, and be like, okay, that's cool, but let me see where I can put a twist on it. And that's where, like, I love fusions and playing with flavors, so it's, you know, like, where I kind of like to play with stuff. Honestly, I sit down and just, I literally delete my menu minus our cauliflower wings, because I can never get rid of those. Mm. And then I kind of just go from there.
Nice.
Like, I'll, you know, I look at, like,
I see some, like, Asian fusion stuff on the menu.
I love Asian food, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds really good.
Yeah.
It sounds really, really good.
Mm-hmm. But that's usually, like, honestly, there's a decent amount of Asian influenced stuff on the menu. I mean, it's kind of more my thing.
Right.
But, you know, I obviously open it up to other things because, you know, who wants to come here and just eat weird Asian fusion food? Honestly, I would every day.
No, so would I. Mm-hmm. So would I. I eat everything. My parents had a problem keeping the fridge full because they couldn't find something I wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
And I'm still that way today. There's not one thing I don't like. You put it in front of me, I'll probably love it. Like, that's,
you know, it's really funny because actually growing up, I was really picky.
Oh, really?
Like, even sushi, I love sushi now, but for me to get into sushi, it took forever.
Gotcha.
I was like the, you know, fried shrimp tempura roll person. Because that's all I would eat.
Yeah.
It freaked me out.
But yeah,
out of nowhere, I was just like, oh, this is good. This is good. You know, try stuff.
Yeah. Sushi's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big sushi guy myself.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to Maya's in New Haven. Really, really good.
They closed.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Are they closed?
Yeah.
Obviously I haven't been because of the band. I haven't been in a year, but.
I was looking into it one day because a bunch of us were talking about because we usually go to House Yoshida.
Oh, I love House Yoshida.
Yeah, I love House Yoshida. Aki's great.
I want to speak to Aki. I've been dying to, so.
I love what Aki does for, like, the community, especially during the pandemic. He was doing so much to help out, like, families, people in need, so.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
No, he is. He is.
Yeah, but we were looking for a new sushi, and I looked up that place, because they had, like, really funky stuff. They use, you know, like, the things that, I remember when I went one time, they've had, like, the little, like, little tiny crabs that actually get stuck to the side of boats on them that they had dried out.
Yeah.
And, like, that was like, this shit's cool.
Yeah.
But I looked into it just to, like, show my friends, because we're all kind of foodies anyways.
Right.
And I was like, this place is closed. So, have you been to Oko?
I haven't.
No? You should try that. That place is really good.
The reason why I thought Mia's or Maya's, I guess Maya's. The reason why I thought they were still open was because the other day the head chef was on CNN,
mm-hmm.
and it said head chef at Mia's in New Haven, and I was
I
like,
I could have sworn they were closed.
I don't know. I hope you're wrong. Honestly, that place, it changed everything about sushi. I mean, I like sushi, but then I went there, and for a while I could only go there, like
mm-hmm.
it was like one of those things. But
yeah.
House of Yoshida is great, and who recommended? Friend of the pod, state rep Rahab Ali Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
He recommended because he's at your House of Yoshida pretty often. So,
yeah.
Sorry to blow up your spot, Rahab. my bad. But yeah. So I mean, that's a you know, awesome place. I love to get sushi. But, you know, one other thing about your dishes though is that they're very aesthetically pleasing, as
mm-hmm.
you know, you'd like to say, and just. I mean, to the point where you see it or you get it at the table and you just don't even want to eat it. You just want to, it's like a work of art. I mean,
I know, I've had customers be like, it's too beautiful to eat, but I want to eat it because I know it's going to be good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, so I honestly think having an art background really helped with that.
Oh, okay, right.
Like, I'll plate something and I'm like, it's not colorful enough. Like, I don't like how it is. It's too muddled of colors, and I'll, like, run it as a special for that night, and then I have to change it by the next day because it like plating it
gotcha.
Would drive me nuts. Have like a dull, boring plate.
We actually had an artist on two episodes ago for season two here in Bethel, Peter LaFlock.
Yeah, he did the big mural with the cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep, for Reading Roasters.
Yeah.
And wow, what a cool guy. Mm-hmm. What an interesting guy. Tall, too. He's like 6'7".
Is he really?
Yeah, really tall.
I remember like driving by watching him like get that whole mural done over there.
Yeah.
It was cool.
It didn't take him long. He said like a few days. It was it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. The dude is so talented. Mm-hmm. So, so cool. You know, a few things before we wrap up, and thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Like I said, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad we got together.
I know. I'm like, I'm sure, you know, like I said, you're so busy, so I appreciate it. And one of those things is when you do get some free time, what are some things you like to do?
Definitely try out like new restaurants. What else? I'm very outdoorsy. I love going hiking, kayaking, that type of stuff. Just kind of like, for myself, it's more like a mental thing. Just kind of relax, kind of just chill out. A new thing I'm doing is actually, I'm going to be brewing with Reverie Brewing Company in Newtown. I met with them. So
love
actually,
those guys.
So actually my sister's boyfriend and the owner.
Ryan.
Yeah, they grew up together. And so he contacted Ryan one night because him and I were just talking about beer. Because honestly, beer's always been something that's been very interesting to me, especially since after I worked out at the corner. My executive chef that I had worked under, one night, he's like, oh, you want a drink? And I was like, yeah, just get me an Angry Orchard. And he's like, no. He's like, I'm not getting you an Angry Orchard. I'm like, okay. And he's like, you're trying a beer. And he was from Vermont, where, like, you know, like, freaking amazing beer comes from. He's like, you're trying a beer. I'm like, okay. And he kind of got me into beer and, like, all doing all these brewery dinners over there at the corner. I had a blast working with him and just learning from him. Like, he was actually an amazing chef. And
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. But so after that, I actually was like thinking about going to like school for brewing, but then I looked into like what they get paid and I'm like, hell no. So
it's interesting you mentioned that, because the last episode that just came out last Friday was with my friend Zach Ross. He started a new brand called Marlow Ales, but before that he was the head brewer for years at Kent Falls Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
He worked for Aslan Beer Company, which is really, really popular.
Crazy too, because Aslan Beer Company is owned by a kid that I graduated high school with.
No way.
Yeah.
Kai. That's super weird.
Kai Leskowitz. I think it's Kai Leskowitz is his name.
It's all coming together.
Yeah.
It's a small world. It's a small world.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and then he just recently came back up to be the head brewer at 12%.
Okay.
In North Haven, and they brew for like 20-something different. So he brews for like 20-something different brands. He's crazy.
Yeah.
But
like a kid my brother grew up with, Sean Peel, is one of the brewers over at 12% too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Weird world, right?
There you go. And like, you know, he was saying, he gets up super early, and he just goes and goes and mm-hmm. goes, and it's a lot of work. It's lot of hard work.
Yeah, because I gave the head brewer of Reverie, we finally met probably a month ago now, gave him a huge list of different beers I wanted to do, and ooh, there was a few of them. He's like, I can't stop thinking about this beer. I want to make this beer. He's like, I can't wait to try it. Like, let's do this. He's like, how are we going to do this? And he's like, well, so I think we might do like can sales for a while, but then you can only get them at both of our restaurants.
Beautiful.
And then I kind of mentioned doing like a seasonal, like one beer each season with them. So that's something I'm definitely,
that's awesome.
I'm so excited to do
I'm really excited too.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everyone listening will be very excited about mm-hmm. that. I mean, Reverie is a great place. Ryan and Frank, awesome. They came on the podcast. It was so much fun. I had a blast with those guys.
Yeah, and Frank's actually from Bethel.
That's going to be special. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So many great people.
I know,
from
when
Bethel.
I met him, he's like, I'd love to have my beer at both of your restaurants. He's like, I love them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, really some of the best restaurants here in Bethel, for sure. There's no doubting that. You know, with what you do, you know, like I said, it's very involved, you know, very busy. You put a lot of heart and soul and passion and hard work into it. What are your favorite parts about what you do as a chef and as a business owner? And what are some of the hardest parts of what you do?
Hardest part? Definitely, honestly, like probably the hours, you know, like you suddenly someone just walks out and quits on you and you're the one that has to pick up the slack. You know, there's been weeks where I work double every single day for like weeks until we find people. Especially right now with the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's so hard to find people. Another friend of mine owns a restaurant. And actually, I went there to eat last night and he was just like, hey, I have a question. He's like, I was like, what's up? And he's like, I'm opening a new restaurant soon. He's like, I need an executive chef. Do you know anyone? And I was like, if I did, I'd have him. Like, you know, so.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing from my chef friends. That's just, it's tough out there.
Yeah, no one wants to come back to work.
I'm hopefully going to be working with Jeff Tavey with his food truck over at Knot Hill once their beer garden opens.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I've always wanted to... I did some light serving at a cafe years ago, but I always wanted to, like, get back into it somehow because I have, you know, I have some free time on the weekends. And when he said he was looking for people, I was like, I mean, working for Jeff Tavey, like, getting to learn from Jeff Tavey, like, yeah, that would be awesome. So I'm hoping I'll be able to do that. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's people are having a hard time finding things. Yeah. So
I know I checked out his when he switched over to, like, his Asian cuisine. Oh, my God.
I go there so much. It's disgusting.
I know. I couldn't wait. Even there was one day his food truck. I think I was in work late, and I didn't see his Instagram of what he had food for that day. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, my God, I want to go stop there. And I drove by, and, of course, he had just closed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, shit. But
the Migo Rang. He had a lobster Migo Rang. I think it might still be there. Oh, my God.
I'm gonna check it out.
Oh.
Yeah, but food truck is definitely something I've always wanted to do. Especially, I said to Tony, I was like, you know, between both restaurants, it's a great way to, like, use up any food that needs to get used up. You know, you already have the room to prep everything at both of your restaurants. So you're not outsourcing room to be prepping.
Last few years of food truck boom has been amazing. It's almost been like the brewery boom.
Oh, yeah.
It's just been like...
It's the breweries, food truck, too. Amount of breweries that we get
from. And they help.
Yeah.
Yeah, they help the whole food truck scene. It's great. It's just... another brewery pops up, you could easily start another two food trucks.
Oh yeah.
So
like, but I need a new food truck just for all these breweries.
But man, there's so many good ones. I know Green Grunion here in Bethel, like I love that one, but oh my God, and Cousins Maine Lobster, they come to my apartment sometimes and oh my gosh, that is so good. But yeah, you're right. The food truck is good. Any other positive parts that you love about the job or just
the positive stuff for me, it's just making something that like for myself that I really enjoy making, seeing it go out, having people love it. I think it's just the feedback of it all. Just that's what really like makes this job for me. It's just, you know, seeing people happy, enjoying it, coming back for it because they like it so much. So,
right. You know, gotcha. Really, so when you won Chopped, you said your plans with the money were to travel to Thailand. Did I get that right? So are you still going to do that or did it kind of go on hold because of the...
Oh, yeah. It went on hold because you don't get your prize until after the episode premieres.
Gotcha.
So my episode premiered, you know, mid-pandemic. So obviously I haven't done anything with it. No, I definitely want to go. There's this one woman out there. She's like a Michelin star chef. She works out of this little tiny shack. Like I want to go there and try her food, but she's so old and I'm like, I need this pandemic to be done. Because, you know,
right.
I don't want her to croak before I get to
eat. Those are the best places. Just like the hole in wall, the shacks. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. She's the cutest little woman, too. I honestly just want to meet her. She cooks over open flame. So she actually has these, like, heat guards on her arms. And then she wears these big-ass ski goggles on her face to, like, protect her from the heat and stuff.
That's interesting.
Yeah, she's like this cute little Thai lady.
That's very interesting. Uh-huh. That's very interesting. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I was actually supposed to go a few years ago with some of my roommates. My roommate's brother was living in Japan as a scientist.
That's
so
super cool.
So him and his wife, we were gonna fly meet them, and we were going to go to Thailand with them. They go to Thailand all the time. His wife pretty much said, you guys going from Connecticut to Florida is like us going from Japan to Thailand. They were like, we honestly go all the time.
Wow.
So they were going to be our tour guides. And then I think he ended up moving to Australia, so plans got canceled.
Gotcha.
Sadly. But it's definitely on my list of things to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Damn, that's awesome. I hope it happens.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too.
I'll check your Instagram for the pics or it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, man, what a now it's a nice night.
Yeah, we should have met right now.
It's cooling down and everything. And man, Bethel's great. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite part about Bethel?
I honestly, I really like just the vibe of this town, especially now that there's more like stuff going on. Because when we opened up Note, there wasn't much here yet. You know, Jay Lawrence wasn't here. Even for me opening up Note, I couldn't really make the same food that I was making at the corner. I actually had to dumb it back down just to kind of be like, you know, like almost like home style cooking at first until people started coming in. And then I'd kind of like add something more interesting until people like really got the vibe for the food.
Right.
That was kind of like, I'm like, shit. I left a place where I was super creative and now I'm at this place making like steak, potatoes, and veggies. So it was kind of a little disheartening at first, but then, you know, I put out a menu that was a little bit weirder for the town. But, you know, that's when like Tavy came in Greenwoods became J. Lawrence, and we actually started getting like more interesting restaurants here.
Yeah, the brewery.
Mm-hmm. Brewery opens.
What was it? Well, it used to be called Echo. I forget what it's called now, but the rooftop bar over there above La Zingara. Yeah.
What is it called now?
Oh, I'm not sure. That's a bad job on me, but when it was Echo, I went there.
Yeah, we actually went a few weeks ago and tried it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going and checking it out for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Because I just love it. I just think it's cool. Like, you know, Bethel has like a rooftop bar. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's just interesting. But no, it's a great place. My girlfriend and I love going there and everything like that. But, you know, one last thing, and thank you so much. I ask a lot of my guests this question, all of my guests, except for, you know, maybe like a couple, like the mayor of Danbury. I didn't ask him this question because I figure, you know, I don't want to put him on the spot because he likes to support every restaurant and everything like that. But, you know, Newtown, I mean, not Newtown, Connecticut recently, the state food is pizza.
Mm-hmm.
They just passed that. So given that, last year I was asking the question, you know, if you're in New Haven or just Connecticut in general, do you have a place that you like to get pizza? So I guess I'll ask you, when you've been in New Haven, if you've been there recently or whatnot, do you have a favorite place there? Or, you know, because there's the Meccas over there. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in other places, what pizza do you like? Obviously, Notch 8, let's be real. Notch 8 makes great pizza.
Shout out to Notch 8.
And then what are some restaurants that you really like to go to? So, I mean, basically, just in your free time, what are some places you really like to go to?
Actually, when I go out, I mean, I'm part owner of a pizza place. So I really don't go searching for pizza. I've honestly never been to Sally's or any of that. I've only had Pepe's because they're in Danbury.
Gotcha.
But I usually go searching out for more of, you know, like ethnic-y stuff.
Gotcha.
Like, I love curry, ramen, all that other stuff. A great place that I absolutely love is actually in South Norwalk. It's called Good Hope Dumpling. Their dumplings are so good. So good. And their noodles, oh my God. It's okay. This little tiny hole in the wall that you would never see. And a friend of mine told me about it. So we, like, honestly, it's my absolute favorite
I love
place.
South Norwalk, so.
It's so good. It's not, like, on your strip of South Norwalk, but it's down in
sure.
that area.
Sure, sure.
Oh, my God. It's
good to know.
To die for.
Good to know.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, Kaylin, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Nice night here in Bethel. It's so nice to get to chat with you and then, of course, you know, run into you a couple days ago when I was out. You know, listen, there's not much else to say. You're awesome. We love you here. You're a rock star.
Thank you.
And all that stuff, and just I wish you nothing but the best and all that you do.
Thank you, you too. I'm glad we finally got together.
Yeah, right? it's great. No, right? This is great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure I'll see you around, so thank you so much, and have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Huge thanks once again to my guest on the podcast today, the wonderful Kaylin Sovereign. Thank you so much, Kaylin, for giving me some of your free time. I loved our chat outside Note Kitchen, getting to know all about the fantastic things that you have accomplished. We all love you and are super proud and thankful that you are here cooking for us. Wishing you all the best in everything you do, and I know I will see you soon for a bite. Yet again, just like that, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback. As a reminder, you can play the podcast with the help of your smart speaker by simply saying, "Play the podcast Sweeten Up with Jeff Spencer." Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music Morgan Lutzi, art director and production Kurt Vinci, editor and writer Nick Passacretta, and huge thanks to Devin Cipelli. Next week on the podcast, I will be joined by the oh-so-wonderful Mr. George Sarafagas. George Sarafagas is the owner of the New Holiday Diner, which has been a staple of Danbury since 1947. George and his family purchased the diner back in August of 2000 and gave it a new updated look back in 2014. Holiday Diner has been a mainstay ever since due to its amazing food and loyal customer base. On top of that, the Holiday Diner is on Instagram, where George will post some of the funniest videos promoting the diner and its famous Milkshake of the Month. The diner is fantastic, and I cannot wait to share our conversation with you all. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy, love you all, peace.